over and over again over the last month or so since I've learned this technique, and boy, has it changed my life in so amazing ways. Have you ever heard people say, you know, just do God's will? You say, okay, I'll do that. And then you're like, I don't know God's will. Like, I know God's general will. I know I'm not supposed to murder. I know I'm not supposed to lie. I know I'm not supposed to do these things. But I have this specific issue in my life that I don't know. It's really gray. I could go left. I could go right. What do I do in this situation? Well, that's been the same for me. I want to be in God's will. I just don't know how. I have questions for God. I have questions that are on my heart and my mind and keep me up at night or whatever. But I don't have answers for them. Does the Bible have an answer for you on those things? Does God's word have it? I believe he does. We're going to hit that. So first of all, we're going to roll through some scripture that I read actually for communion about a month ago. And I wanted to just get that up and get that fresh with you guys. Oh, man, it's really small. All right, I'll read it out of my Bible. Well, no, we'll do it here. All right. Oh, okay, even better. I am the true vine. This is John 15, Gospel of John. So this is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. We are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but it must remain in the vine. It's key right there. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whichever you wish and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. This is the last one. I have told you this so that my joy may be I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. All right, so some exciting verses there, ones you've probably heard before. While we're doing this, I got a couple of handouts from my faithful helpers over there. We got Brady, Ryder, and my wife, Michelle, are going to be handing out a few things. I'll explain what they're going to be handing out right now. So little 3x5 cards. You get like three of them. They're blank. Really exciting. Nice and blank for you. And then we have a pencil. Those of you that have been on your phone all day, these pencils work with not the pink side, but the other side. You press against paper and it writes things. So you're able to write things right on paper. Pretty neat. It's a new invention. And there's a pink thing on the end that's an eraser. If you've just used to your phone, this is a new technology we're using. Okay, so you're going to get both of those, and then you're going to get this, one of these. You may say, Spence, why are you giving us your lawn clippings? That's exactly what it is. It's a branch, all right? In this verse, we're going to talk about what a branch is. Guess what? We're the branch. So we're one of these ugly things that doesn't do much unless it's plugged into something. I'm going to give you all a dead branch. You can thank me later. Okay. So I want to go through this verse. I want to show the video, if we can do that. All right, so here we are with the verse. So we've got the vine, which is Jesus. So that's the thick thing that gets, you know, has roots. That's what's connected to the ground. In this analogy, that is Jesus right there. That's the branch. Then he's the vine, sorry. Now I'm drawing branches, which is going to look like what you guys are getting. Branches are just, and what the verse says is the branch's main goal, which is us, is to just be connected to the vine. Not to be anything else. We're not in charge of getting all this stuff going. Did it freeze? Oh, okay. And then what happens is, as we're connected to the vine, we produce fruit. It's not the branches' deal to bear fruit. It's actually our job is to be connected to the vine, and thus we bear fruit. You can keep drawing it. And then I drew a snippers up at the top, which is the vine dresser or the gardener. The analogy I used the last time I was up for communion, if anyone's ever been a gardener of any sort, you're trying to get that little seed to grow, right? And so what do? Your job as the gardener is to try to make all the circumstances around that seed to be perfect. You get the soil the right way. You get your Miracle-Gro in there. You mix that with the soil. You make sure it gets plenty of sun. You make sure it gets plenty of water. You control all the circumstances to get that seed to grow. If you don't, what happens? Nothing happens. If you put a bunch of seeds in the back of a closet, nothing happens to it. But when you control the circumstances, you get that plant to grow. Who's, in this analogy, God, the Father, is the guy who's the gardener. So does that mean we, for our own lives, are in charge of our circumstances? No, we're not in charge of our circumstances. We think we're in charge of our circumstances. We plead with God about our circumstances. We try to manipulate our circumstances. We try to change this and that and everything, and we fret and we worry and we think about the past and the future, and we get all worked up about our circumstances. This verse says, it's not your problem. That's God's problem to deal with the circumstances. He's the vine dresser. He's the gardener. And then our job is to be connected to the vine. In the beginning of John, if you've ever read that, there's sort of a poem that talks about Jesus and the Word being the same thing. So when we're trying to be connected to Jesus or the vine, aren't we being connected to the Word? And that's what we're going to talk about today. How to make the Word, the Bible, come alive in a way that you've never had it before, or at least I haven't. And nothing that I'm going to talk about is super groundbreaking. It's not some fancy trick at all. It is actually just connecting a lot of the dots that I knew was out there, but in a way that's practical and I could put it to use. So we are going to have a special guest, Chris Palantonio, come up, and she's going to model how this works as we go through it. So instead of me just telling you, hey, this is the little 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that we go through, instead, we're going to get a microphone going for you. We're going to go through these steps with Chris. Come on over. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how this way of going through the Bible happens kind of live. So we have a live test monkey. And we're going to kind of go through it. Now, I've been through this. I go through it every morning, actually. I do this every morning, and I sort of open up God's Word. I'm so excited. I feel like I'm on a scavenger hunt that's like, where are we going today, God? And we just fire through the Bible, and I get all this stuff. Sometimes it's totally applicable. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know what you're trying to say, God, but then within days or even that day, I see, God, this is why you had me in this section. So pretty wild stuff. So
do you mind
maybe
if I just tell
go ahead.
Quick,
she's going to give you a little quick story.
Just a little backstory, because it just sort of flows together.
Go for
you know,
it.
Plus I'm the opposite. Like, this does not come easy for me. He's all like, I get in. I've always been in. I grew up in the Word. It's like torture for me. I didn't even get into the Bible until in my 30s, so it's a little bit opposite. So and then just a little more of the backstory is that I sent Michelle a text and said, hey, what are you doing this weekend? Oh, I'm going on the retreat with Spence. And I'm like, oh, that sounds incredible. If anything incredible shakes down during that time, like, make sure you text me. And I forgot all about it. I get the text, like, this is incredible. This is changing my life. Like, what is she saying? So now I'm really intrigued. And we try to get together, and it can't happen. You know how life is. It's horrible. So then, again, like, hey, what are you up to? well, it's my wedding anniversary, and my babysitter bailed, and what? Are you, like, bring those kids over right now. So she did. So it was Good Friday, and we had a blast. And it was, you know, of course, it was action-packed. My kids were home all day. And so Spence came over at about 9, and I'm up with the birds. So by about 9, I'm like this. I'm on this slope. And Spencer comes over, and I'm thinking he's going to do the beep, beep. Okay, off you go. You know, I get the, Mom, Spencer's at the door, and I think he has his Bible and everything. And I'm like, not now. No. I can't. I'm like exhausted, right?
Never the answer to the door if right. I have a Bible in my hand.
So he comes in.
Heads up.
Yeah, you're going to need a notebook and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I'm dying. So Steve and I go, and we all meet in the living room, and I'm so exhausted. And you know what? God showed up, and I wouldn't be up here if it wasn't a little bit on the radical side, what went down in my living room on, I don't know, Friday night, Good Friday, really tired. And we went through this, and Steve and I were there, and we ended up getting something out of it that changed how we parent. And I was kind of hoping that my kid Zao's game got canceled, and unfortunately he's here now. So I have to be a little cryptic in what goes down now because, you know, I have my people here. But what went down there, like I said, was a game changer, and we got some nuggets out of it. And Spencer's right. Like, right before that, during the lockdown, is when I really started getting more serious about, like, about my walk. Like, you know how you're in your walk, and you're sold out, and you're like, I know this. Like, I'm trying. And you're wondering what the blockages are. And I realized that the blockages, for me, were really getting in the book. So when this all came about, it was on what they guess call fertile soil or whatever, where I was so ready. And we get frustrated because things aren't happening the way we want it to, but then you have to say, wow, am I really doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And it's funny how, you know, we're usually not. So anyway, I had one verse that I wanted to share. And the way I do it with this is I went to Marshall's and just picked up one of these, and it's in like sections. So this just makes it easy for me because, this just makes it easy for me. But this one verse, I sought the Lord on the authority of his word, and he answered me and delivered me from my fears. And that's a truth. And what the fear, my fear, and it's interesting because it's the same thing we asked Spencer about parenting, because it's scary. I've worked my whole life, and like there was a cakewalk next to trying to parent. So you always second guess, and you know, are they going to be okay? You know. So what we got out of this was pretty intense. So,
okay. So we're going to go through how this works, and I have my trusty guinea pig /
monkey
here, and she's going to show you how this works so that you can replicate it at home. And actually the reason you have a pencil and a paper with you is so that you can sort of do this along with us your way, because this is totally specific to you. It's not us sharing about parenting. Parenting may be the furthest thing from your mind right now, but something is on your mind, and that's what we're going to get to you. So it's about taking your specific issue, your specific heart tug from God, and then chasing that down. So as we do this, you're going to go, let's do my slide first, the next one. Okay, so Chris ripped out a journal. I'm sure all of you have heard about journaling, right? I heard about journaling my whole life. I've never done journaling at all. I don't really want to force anybody to do anything they don't want to do. I'm just saying that it is kind of the way that this thing works. I don't care if you have a journal or you have a piece of paper or you have a notebook or your phone or whatever. The idea is that when you get up in the morning, this is a scenario that we're teaching. You get up in the morning and you write down whatever's on your mind. Could be one sentence, could be one word, could be two paragraphs, could be two pages. Everybody's different. Everybody writes down things differently. Everybody's thoughts and mind work differently. The idea is that you empty out all those crazy thoughts that are running through your head. Whatever it is, I'm worried about the kids, I'm worried about my job, I'm worried about my relationship with my parents, I'm worried about whatever it is. Usually there's something that's tugging on your heart one way or the other. And there's some other things that we'll talk about later, but that's the easiest one to look at. What is on your heart? We'll go to the next one. So actually, let's do Chris. Chris, if we're going to role play what we kind of reenact that Friday night, I sat down, I said, Chris and Steve, what's on your mind? What's going on? What's kicking? What's keeping you up at night? And you said?
We worry about being effective parents.
Okay.
More effective parenting.
So then we say, okay, effective parent, what's like a couple of words that would boil that down? She actually told me a little bit more of a story about, hey, you know, the parents and the kids and da-da-da, and we sort of boiled it down to two words, effective parenting. So whatever the issue that's on your mind, there's usually a subject in there. Maybe it's a relationship issue, so you type down relationships or whatever. You get down to one word. So I'd like you, on your little card, to write down maybe what's on your heart, what's God tugging on you with. Maybe it's a challenging thing, maybe he's convicting you. Whatever it is, you write that down, and then you try to summarize that into one or two words. So if you guys could do that along with us. Okay, so let's see. I'm just going to, well, not yet. I just want to say, I don't know if you guys can see this picture on the screen. If you're under 15, it's a foreign object. If you haven't ever been in a stick shift car, this may be a really strange piece of apparatus. This is a stick shift for an old school car. I think they still make them. Anyway, what's not on here is neutral. And anybody who has driven a stick shift car knows that neutral is a big part of the whole thing, right? Obviously, getting into gears is what you want. You got reverse and all the different gears. But that line in the middle says, I'm not sure what I'm doing right now. I may be at a stop sign. I may be in somewhere else. I may be in my parked or whatever. Neutral is an important part of driving a car. But if you're not in gear, you're not going to move anywhere. But in this case, we're looking for neutral. So think about what neutral means. Neutral means in your mind, when you have a thing that God's tugging on your heart about, we have an answer, right? Everybody's got an answer. This is how I want God to answer my problem, right? You got the issue, and you usually have the solution for God. God, I got a great idea. This is how I want you to handle my issue, my way. That is not where you want to go. We're not using the Bible to sort of prove our own heart. We actually want the opposite. It's really powerful when God shows you the opposite thing that you think you should do. And I've got some stories just recently that happened to me. God showed me, nope, you're to do the opposite of that. And boy, did it work out. And that's when you know God's really working. Because if he's just confirming things that you think in your mind, forget it. You're just going to plow through life doing things not in God's will. This is about doing things in God's will. So we're going to go now to Google. So this is what I want you to do. Now, don't do this right now because they say that if everyone starts Googling at the same time, it'll crash the system, all the lights will go off, and the roof will collapse. So don't do that right now. We're going to save this for later. You're just going to watch Chrissy go through this scenario. So she's got an issue on her heart. Her and Steve are all torn up about how they're going to do parenting better and are they doing the right thing and yada, yada, yada. So they find effective parenting is the two words. So we're going to Google right now together live. Isn't this exciting? Effective parenting versus. So There's somewhere in here will be like the 10 or 40 verses on that, depending on what you search for. But thank God for Google. You can also use the Concordance, which is an old school version of Google for the Bible. And that one you can look up words, and it'll give you verses to follow up. So is that a good one? Okay, so that one has various verses that are in it. And we're going to, I think it's probably easier. Now, let's just go. I think it would be easier if we went through that little Bible story and we just picked verses that were in there. But this will give you a way to get there. So maybe if we type in Proverbs 13:24, I told you I would get Kelly all twisted around back here, so this will be fun.
I just wanted to say one quick thing, too, sure, about being in neutral.
Yeah.
Neutral's hard. And don't let that stop you from moving forward with this, because I definitely, I don't even know if I have a neutral. And if I waited till I was always in neutral or I was in a good space or whatever, forget it. So sometimes you just have to just say a prayer, God, you know, let your will be done, clear my head, and go.
So the idea is that we have, if we have a thought about what we want, that we say, no, God, I don't want that. And really, as Chris said, it's not in your own power. Your power is saying, God, I need your help to be in neutral. I need to be not trying to find my own solution through this. I want to see what your word has for me. So that's a totally different idea. So Kelly, if you could just pull up Proverbs 13:24. It was the first verse that we Googled, but I think it would be easier to read if you just do it on just pull it up on the big screen. So we read these verses together, Chris and I, or you'll be doing that on your own. You read this verse. It's the first one that came up in Google, and we just kind of broke it down. So whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their child is careful to discipline them. Okay, so we boiled that down, and this is what the little card is for. So you write your verse out. Maybe just write the verse, like just write Proverbs 13:24, and either write it out or just write the key points to that. And your way of breaking that down?
So the way I do it is just to read the verse, and if the verse is amazing, I might write the whole verse, but mostly I'll just grab like one or two key words. Like this one is discipline equals love. But we're not hitting our kids. Just want to make that really clear that like we didn't read that and say, let's go at it, man. I just want to make that perfectly clear. They will substantiate that. Like what I got out of this was discipline equals love. And at the end of the day, without saying too much, like that's kind of what was more lacking for us. Like we got to get down. Like we got to get on the same page, and actions have to have consequences. We got to beef this up. So really that was a lot of our takeaway. The second one that we did was Hebrews 12:6.
So if you could pull that verse up, we'll just read it. The idea is that you're finding these verses, and then you're reading above and below that verse a lot of times. So it's not just trying to handpick verses from all over the Bible, but you're in a verse and maybe it doesn't make sense or maybe it really makes sense. It's great to read maybe the chapter above and below or the paragraph around it so you just get some better context. So here we go with Hebrews. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, he chastens everyone he accepts as his son.
So for that, Steve and I just wrote down, God disciplines us. So it's all about discipline. So.
All right.
But you know what? The way they might have something totally different. This
sure.
is how we did it.
Yeah. This is for you to do. So you're just taking shorthand notes of each verse with a couple of words so that later you can go back and hit these things and knock them out. Proverbs 27. What was the, do you know if it was 27? What?
Did I say it was 27:7?
Okay. 27:7, sorry. One who is full loathes honey from the comb. I don't know if that was right.
Oh, no, maybe that wasn't it.
All right.
So anyway, that one I disregarded. Like I said, you write them all down and you pick the ones that resonate with you. So, like, you know, you're going to write down all the top 10, grab the keywords, but like I, we only pulled the ones that were really speaking to us, and then we drill those down even further.
That's right. So the idea is that each verse that you read, sometimes you're like, this thing isn't really hitting home, right? You're praying that the Holy Spirit opens your heart to, like, make your heart kind of leap when you read a verse, because you're really searching for these answers. So when you feel that, when you sense that God's saying, yeah, this is the verse for you, doesn't mean it's the verse that answers the question your way again. Remember, you're in neutral. So boom, we get maybe 5 or 6 verses, maybe 10, and then you pick one or two of them that are a standout, ones that really sort of answer the question for you your way. And we went through probably 10 of those verses that way. But then the exciting thing is you're picking a verse that really really grabs your heart, and then you're cross-referencing. Now, I didn't really know what cross-referencing was before that weekend, but if in your Bible you look to the center margin, there's going to be little verses. This is most Bibles, but it may not be the one that you have. There's a way to do it online, so I'll teach you that as well. But basically, that verse that's sort of hitting home for you, you then look to the margin, and there'll be 5 or 6 verses that are similar or very close to or kind of in and around that. Really exciting, because now you're drilling down on what God's talking to you about, but he's filling in all the blanks. He's sort of making that even stronger. So maybe you can explain kind of how that went.
So I didn't even know what those little verses were until Spencer brought it to our attention. So now I've done this also on my phone. You can put in your phone cross-referencing. Like if I'm waiting for Zao at a soccer game or something, I can do the whole thing on my phone. But I really like doing it in the Bible, because sometimes it's the verse right above the verse that is the cross-reference, or sometimes you want to really see it in context. That makes it even more effective. So, what?
So you grabbed a verse that you thought was really powerful from above, and then cross-referenced it to and see all the different verses that stand off of that.
Yeah, so when I did Proverbs 13:24, which we said, discipline equals love, the cross-reference was Proverbs 23, do not withhold discipline from a child. So it might seem like really that rocked your world, again, it's very personal, it's all to us. That's something that we struggled with as parents, was discipline. So for us to keep getting hammered, it was like, all right, either we're not going to do this biblically, or we're going to be walking the walk and talking the talk. So it changed everything for us. But like I said, what you're going to be doing is you know, that you might be looking at this saying, wow, really, that was your big aha moment? But it was for us. So
a couple more cross-references that we chased down was Hebrews 12:6, cross-reference to Revelation 3:19, those whom I love, I discipline. Or Ephesians 4:6, which was another verse that sort of caught their eye.
Cross-reference to God gives us the skills to be an effective parent, because it's overwhelming sometimes.
And then a few other verses that came out of the cross-reference were Proverbs 3:12, don't forget what I've told you, and Proverbs 3:12, which says, in essence, reprimanding is important. So I want to thank Chris for coming up and running through this with you, but let's give her a hand. She's thank you. So maybe with that back and forth, and you can see how we're kind of using the internet and we're using the cross-reference Bible, and maybe your Bible's got that in the median, maybe it doesn't. You can essentially type in a verse and then just type cross-reference, and Google will do it for you, right? So you can get this either way. So let's go back to my verses, or my slides, sorry. Okay, so I want to go through these just with a little cue I want you to remember that we're a branch, right? Our job is to be connected to the vine. It's not to bear fruit. It's not to control our circumstances. It is simply to be connected back to the vine. So the more we're connected to the vine, more connected to the word, the more we can bear fruit. It actually works opposite. We're so worried about bearing fruit and controlling our circumstances, but God's just saying, forget all that. You're just connected to the vine. So here it is. Are you in neutral? Number three, what are you struggling with? This is just rehashing what we just talked about. What are you struggling with? What's on your mind? Narrow it down to the main subject. Next slide. Google the verses or use a concordance for the subject words. Let the Holy Spirit pick the verses that strike you. So that's part of being in neutral is, God, just open me up. I don't want to pick verses so I can get the answer that I'm looking for. I don't want to even pick a topic that is going to get me to where I think God wants me. It's more like, God, just show me. And you're actually looking for God to rock your world and tell you something opposite of what you're thinking. I think that's what's really opened it up for me. When God says, do something opposite to what I want to do, I know I'm onto something. Next slide. Write down the verses and then select the main idea from those verses. Next one. Cross-reference the Google verses that impacted you. This image is all the verses in the Bible and then little lines connecting different verses. It was pretty interesting to see that. I don't know why that's around, but it was a cool picture. Write down those verses and pull out the main idea. So what you do at the end, imagine you've got an issue and someone writes a sermon just for you with the verses you want, with the verses that God's picked for you, and a story and a playbook of what you should do about that issue. That's what you're getting out of this. That's what I'm doing every morning. I'm running through the door so excited about the day because I'm like, God just told me all the stuff that's going to happen today. I feel like I'm reading the future or something, and this thing keeps happening over and over and day by day. So exciting. So I can't wait to track through the Bible and cross-reference and follow these verses and just like be totally open to see what God's had for me. Okay, so read through your notes. So now we're going to read through. We've got a note, like, you know, some pages or a page where you've got verses. Maybe you wrote the whole verse down. Maybe you just took notes on that verse, whatever. But you've got basically an outline for a sermon that's directly custom for you today, right now, filled with the Holy Spirit. So we're remembering this analogy. Here's a picture of the same thing. Jesus is the vine. We're the branch. We're not the fruit. We're not even in charge of the fruit. We're just connecting from there, from the branch to the fruit. And I, to add to this analogy, the Holy Spirit really is like the nutrients and the water in the ground that the vine brings up to those, through those branches and out to the fruit. What a cool picture of a verse that we've all heard 1,000 times about the branches and the vine and all that stuff. But if you really break it down, it's got so much more to it. What specific direction has the word or vine and the Holy Spirit given you? So then it's about, okay, God, what do you want me to do with this? You laid that out. It's usually really, really evident what you're supposed to do with these words through these verses. And hopefully it's, again, opposite of what you think that you're supposed to do or you should do, and that God is really opening your eyes to attack the day with God's direction. So when you hear someone say, what's God's specific will in your life, or I want to follow God's specific will, I think this is the closest. Obviously, prayer is part of it, and revelation, all those things are part of it, but this is like tactile. We can get into it. We know we're supposed to be in the Word. Let's get into the Word excited about what we're doing. Last slide. I think it's the last slide. Okay, so here's a couple bonus tips, and we'll wrap it up. So look for clues or topics throughout your life. So you may say, Spence, I don't have anything going on right now. I'm kind of, everything's good. I don't really have a heavy thing going on. If that's the case, bless you. I'm glad. That's great. Most of us are on the other side of the fence and be like, yeah, I got so many issues going on right now. It's hard to pick the first one, right? So let's just look for clues. So as you're going through life, you're sort of a little bit more open to like, hey, man, I got this. There's a situation. I want to abide on that. I want to, this sort of process The author of this, the way of doing this, calls it abiding. So if I use that word, that's what I'm talking about. So I want to abide on that thing. Use sermons, radio, online, devotionals to find verses to track down. So again, it's like if you're kind of stuck and you're not sure what the verse is or what the word is that you're supposed to go after, or you really are even in neutral to where God's going to lead you, I would look to those things. You know, we talk about the Christian life, about filling yourself with being around folks that are also believers. You know, be in fellowship with believers. It's one of the parts of being a Christian. So that could mean on the radio, could mean online, could be, you come to church and you hear a verse that you're like, man, that verse is really hitting me. Instead of just forgetting about it, jot it down, use your phone, whatever, jot that verse down, and then do this process to it. Go cross-reference that thing, find five more verses, then find a verse in that, and find that, and keep going, and keep drilling down on that gold vein that you're looking for. Number three, remember the Bible is a love story written by God to you, not a tax code book. So a lot of times we sort of see the Bible as this very linear, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. But that's not it. And we're not trying to use the Bible as a fortune cookie either, right? We're trying to just see the general context of what's going on and not handpick a verse and then just totally float on that. But we know we're supposed to commit the Word of God to our heart. So it does mean that you're taking verses that really rock your world and writing them down on your 3x5 card and looking at them over and over and over again so they come out of your mouth without you even having to think about it, and they pop onto your brain. And then share what you're finding in God's Word. So accountability is a real big part of this thing. So you should be talking about this. You should be sharing these things that come. I'm excited to see if you do follow this down, just like it's been exciting to track along with Chris and Steve about what's going on in their lives. I want to hear about this. Share it with your friends. Hey, I had this situation. God revealed all these things to me. I put them in place, and then this cool thing happened. Because I've got too many stories to fill up all Sunday with, but I'd love to hear your stories, and it'd be cool if you were sharing that with your spouse, you're sharing that with your friend. Get somebody that you can kind of do this with and say, hey, here's what God's unveiling to me. Because sometimes you'll be able to hear something from somebody else and say, have you tried this verse, or have you thought about it this way? So sometimes cross-referencing with another believer really does strengthen that bind that happens. I think that's the last slide, right? Okay. So I'm gonna close in prayer. Lord, we just pray that this be something real that people can put into practice. Lord, I am just grateful that you've revealed this to me. And Lord, we don't mean to not read the Bible in any other way, but Lord, the excitement of finding your will through the scriptures for us is just really, really exciting. And we just pray, Lord, that we can be in neutral. That's probably the hardest part. We need your help to do that. And we just are so excited about what you're going to do in our lives when we're totally connected to the vine. The fruit that you're going to produce in our lives, the circumstances that you're in charge of, and Lord, that we are just 100% focused on being connected back to you. In Jesus' name, amen.